Would you join me in the prayer of confession? Lord, we have often taken for granted the wonderful ways we have experienced your mercy and grace. We have even taken far too lightly the price you paid so that we might know your salvation. Forgive us, Lord, and help us always to remember your call on our lives and that only you are our hope and our Redeemer. In Christ we pray. Amen. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. May the God of mercy, who forgives us all our sins, strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. And now would you stand and join me in the Apostles' Creed on page 881 of your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the everlasting life. Amen. Please be seated.
Where we have an opportunity to share prayer concerns. And I'd like to ask, of course, that you keep our church in your prayers as we're going through a time of transition. As you know, I'll be here with you for almost a year until July of 2021, in which you'll receive a new pastor. But we got a lot of work to do in the meantime. And today I'm going to talk to you about one of those tasks we're going to be working on together, the task of identity, which I mentioned last week. And we're going to be talking about memory today. And I want to encourage you to sign up for one of the listening parties. We're only going to have 10 in each party, and we'll either meet here or in the fellowship hall, because I want to make sure that we practice physical distancing. But I really want to hear from you, because I want to hear your take on our church history. And the purpose of these meetings is for us to listen to each other. And we may not all have the same take on the history, but that's okay. We don't have to all agree. Hopefully we can learn to agree to disagree. What unites us, though, above all of our differences is our love for Jesus Christ and our love for the church. And that's what we need to always keep in mind. So I want to encourage you to sign up for one of the listening parties. As Don mentioned in the back, they'll be from 3 to 5 Monday, Tuesday, and then for those of you who prefer an evening meeting, a Wednesday we'll meet from 6 to 8. And I will have some information for you. I'm going to lead you through the pastors that we've had about the last 25 years. You're going to share with me the high points, the low points, the times of celebration, the times of challenge. But I want to hear it all from you all, and it'll be helpful to me. Also, I'm going to share with you some statistics from the church, what our attendance has been each of those years, what our membership has been. And so I think we'll be able to coordinate some of the things that have happened with the attendance and membership. So hopefully that will be helpful, and I want to encourage you all to sign up. Again, we'll have a limit of 10 people, but I can have as many of these meetings as we need. And if some of you don't feel comfortable sharing in a group and you'd like to speak with me privately, I've had some people say to me, Pastor, I don't feel comfortable in a group. There's some things I need to say that I'd prefer to talk to you about privately. That is fine. I would be happy to meet with you. But I want to hear from all of you, so that'll be very helpful. And by the way, if you haven't gotten a phone call from me yet, I want to forewarn you, I'm going to be calling you. So just be prepared, and if I don't get you, I'll call you back, all right? But I just want to introduce myself, get to know you, and just really learn about the church and learn about you personally. So please keep our church in your prayers as we go through this time of transition. Now, one of the things I like to do, and I didn't do this last week because we didn't really have a pastoral prayer, I know that we all have concerns. We live in a scary time, do we not? We don't know what to expect from one day to the next. But one thing we can count on is God's love for us through Jesus. And today, as I talk to you about memory, I'm going to be challenging you to remember some of the ways in which God has been at work in our lives, not just personally, but also through this church. So we're going to be doing that. But one of the things I'd like to do is recognize unspoken concerns. Not everyone feels comfortable expressing a concern, but if you have an unspoken concern that you'd like us to recognize this morning, would you raise your hand? Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. Thanks. Any other unspoken concerns? If not, then let's approach the Lord in prayer. God of all the ages, your mighty acts of deliverance are promises of the future, as well as memories from the past. Lord, today, help us to remember all those ways in which you have been at work in our lives. When we had needs, when we faced challenges, help us to remember so that we might face the future unafraid. And help us to remember the many ways you've been at work through the ministries of this church. The ways in which this church has made a difference for so many folks, not just here in the church, but in the community as well. Lord, forgive us when we forget how through the ages you have delivered people who trusted in you. People like Abraham and Sarah, Moses and Miriam, Joseph and Mary, and Peter and Paul. Dear God, sometimes when we compare our present experiences with the divine drama of history, we feel discouraged because we don't feel as delivered as those who were led through the wilderness. Lord, forgive us for letting our faith suffer to the point that we don't expect or even hope for your intervention in our undesirable situations. Lord, as the Israelites were wandering through the wilderness, under Moses' leadership, we too are wandering in so many ways. We're wandering as a nation. We need leadership, Lord God. Help us to look to you as our leader through this troublesome wilderness of this pandemic. And Lord, it's a very anxious time for us. Calm the fears of our hearts with the presence of your Son Jesus, and help us to focus our eyes upon your Son Jesus and to remember how Jesus has been there for us in our past, is present with us today in the present, and will be with us through the future, no matter what we may have to face. Revive us with new expectations of your miraculous grace, that our faith may break forth in praise. Lord, broaden our faith in your saving acts, that we may look eagerly for what is to come, just as surely as that which has been. And Lord, look down upon our church. You know that we're going through a time of transition, as well as our nation. We don't know what to expect. Help us to know, Lord, that no preacher is a healer, no preacher is a source of peace, but your Son Jesus is. Your Son Jesus is the true shepherd of the sheep. Help us to focus our eyes upon your Son Jesus and to know that he's the Prince of Peace and he is the one who brings our healing. And Lord, we pray also that you might be with whoever our next pastor will be in July. You know who that will be. We don't know, but we pray that you might prepare that person. And Heavenly Father, I lift up to you all these folks who raised their hands this morning. I don't know what the concerns are, but you know what they are. And I pray that your grace might prove sufficient to each of these needs in accordance with your will for us through Jesus, who teaches the disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is not the gospel. It is an Old Testament reading, but you know, someone once told me, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. So there is a continuity there, and even though it's labeled as the gospel, we can always find some gospel word in what we call the Old Testament. So I invite you to follow along. This is taken from the New Living Translation. I apologize. Apparently, we didn't get the whole text in there, But if you'll follow along with me, and I will read the whole text from my phone, it's the New Living Translation. And if you'd like to stand, please stand as you will for the reading of the Word of God. When you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you as a special possession, and you have conquered it and settled there, put some of the first produce from each crop you harvest into a basket and bring it to the designated place of worship, the place the Lord your God chooses for his name to be honored. Go to the priest in charge at that time and say to him, "With this gift I acknowledge to the Lord your God that I have entered the land he swore to our ancestors he would give us." The priest will then take the basket from your hand and set it before the altar of the Lord your God. You must then say in the presence of the Lord your God, "My ancestor Jacob was a wandering Aramean who went to live as a foreigner in Egypt. His family arrived few in number, but in Egypt they became a large and mighty nation. When the Egyptians oppressed and humiliated us by making us their slaves, we cried out to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. He heard our cries and saw our hardship and toil and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a strong hand and powerful arm, with overwhelming terror and with miraculous signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land flowing with milk and honey. And now, O Lord, I have brought you the first portion of the harvest you have given me from the ground. Then place the produce before the Lord your God, and bow to the ground in worship before him. Afterward, you may go and celebrate because of all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and your household. Remember to include the Levites and the foreigners living among you in the celebration." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Before I begin this morning, a number of you have asked me if I play golf. And so I want to tell you the background for that. I've mentioned to several of you that there's a story behind that. Many years ago, I served a church in the Richardson area, which is north of Dallas. And I was asked if I would like to participate in a scrambler tournament. You know what a scrambler tournament is, where you have four guys that are playing golf, or four women, and they take the best score. So they had me play, and I was honored that they asked me to play in their group. And it was a fundraiser. And so we played 18 holes. And I got to tell you, that was quite an ordeal for me. Because when I hit the ball, it bounced off the lake, it bounced off trees, it bounced off everything imaginable. Fortunately, I didn't hit anybody, okay? But I sliced and hooked with the best of them. Well, anyway, I noticed the next year they did not ask me to play. And so I said, "Hey guys, what's the deal? How come you're not asking me to play?" And the fellow who'd asked me last year said, "Hey guys," and I think this was their Methodist men's group, "I want you to all come around. Come around. I want you to hear what I'm going to say to Daryl." He said, "Daryl, we want you to play, but not with our team." So I think that was my last time at playing golf. So I'm not sure you would really want me to play with you, because you couldn't call what I play golf. But I want to say how delighted I am to be here with you, both Kathy and I. This is a lovely church. I know that we've been facing some challenges over the last 2 years. But I'll tell you, I've seen God work a lot of miracles in my ministry, not because of me, but because of who God is and who Jesus is. And I'll be sharing some of those stories with you. I will share this if I didn't last week. The first church that I served, the sanctuary was burned down the fourth day. And by the way, it wasn't me. But that was quite a challenge. But within a year, that was in February of 2010, by December of that year, God worked a miracle, and they rebuilt the sanctuary, and it was all paid for by insurance. It was really miraculous, and it was handicap accessible now. So, and really, it was a blessing, because it brought the congregation together, because they were very disillusioned and disheartened. But that's just one miracle that I've seen. I know that God works miracles, and I know that God can work miracles here. The question is, will we allow him to work? That's the key question. Christ can do anything. And we can all do all things through Christ who strengthens us, but we have to let him work through us. So I want to encourage you to remember that. Today I want to talk to you about memory and the importance of memory. I mentioned to you we're going to have some listening parties, and I want to encourage you to sign up for the listening parties because I need to hear from you, but we need to hear from each other. And this is an opportunity when we can heal, when we can get things off of our chest, and it is a safe space for us to share. So I want to encourage you to sign up. Well, let's join together in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You know, to lose your memory and identity is a tragic experience. Memory is that mental faculty that not only connects us with our past, but also in some sense with the present and the future. You might recall that several weeks ago, we observed Independence Day. We had public and private rituals that helped us to remember the values we're trying to preserve and those who preserve them. What memories from the past strengthen you to become a living reminder of that which is being preserved? Now, I'm going to ask you a question, and I think most of you ought to be able to answer this because I don't see many children here. But let me ask you, how many of you remember Bob Hope? Raise your hands. Bob Hope. Okay, every hand's gone up. All right. Well, if there's anyone here who might have forgotten who Bob Hope was, because I want to mention that Bob Hope was a famous actor, comedian, and film star of the 1940s, 50s, and 60s. But he was probably best known for the many USO shows that he hosted for the military during World War II, the Korean, and the Vietnam Wars. Now, you might recall that Bob Hope used to always end his shows with four words. Anybody remember those four words? What were they? Anybody? Thanks for the memories. That's right. Thanks for the memories. In fact, you probably recall he even used to sing it. You remember how it went? Thanks for the memories. Okay, I'm not the best singer in the world, but you get the idea. The point is, we need to be thankful to God for all the memories we have of the many ways in which God has been at work in our lives and through our church. Let me invite you to think back to your lives. Think back to the times in your life when you knew that God was there for you. Yes, I know that we are facing a substantial challenge with this COVID pandemic. But you know, we faced challenges before. And we know that God has been there with us through Jesus Christ. We remember back because when we remember how God has been with us through the events of the past and the challenges and pain of the past, we can face the future with hope because God, through Christ, is still with us. He has not abandoned us. So I invite you to remember back to the many ways in which God has been at work in your personal life and in your family. But also, remember the many ways in which God has been at work through our church. Think of all the baptisms that have been performed here over the years. Think of the youth over the years who've been confirmed. Think of the marriages that have been celebrated, the lives that have been honored over the years through memorial services. Think of the children who've learned about Jesus through vacation Bible school programs and Sunday school programs. Think of the young adults and adults who've learned about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ through the Sunday school classes that have been taught here over the years. And think about all the mission projects and outreach that have taken place through our church, not just to the Cloudcroft community, but to parts beyond. I think we got a lot to be thankful for, don't you? We got a lot to be thankful for. And God's not finished with us yet. So, we need to be thankful for the many ways in which God has been at work in our lives and through our church. You know, Isaac Watts, in his great hymn that I think we're going to be hearing in a few moments, in his great hymn, O God, Our Help in Ages Past, Our Hope for Years to Come, expresses this dynamic remembering back to the past to celebrate God's actions in the present and the future. Well, this morning, I'd like to make 3 points on why it's important that we remember our past. 3 points on why it's important we remember our past. Now, I don't know if we're going to be able to have a PowerPoint presentation today. Okay, I see Sharon shaking her head. But you do have a bulletin insert that has a sermon outline. So I want to invite you to fill that out. Consider what God is saying to you this week about how important it is for us to remember how God has been at work in our past and how that can strengthen us to live in the present and to face the future. So let's begin with the first point. First of all, we are what we remember. First of all, we are what we remember. Now, while the past defers to the present and the future, it's not to be discarded. Only those who know their heritage can truly know who they are. In John Steinbeck's great novel, The Grapes of Wrath, a migrating Okie family is told not to waste precious packing space on photographs and other memorabilia. One of the members of the family asks, "How will we know it's us without our past? How will we know it's us without our past?" You know, we could well ask ourselves that question as a church. Our Old Testament reading this morning from Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 1 through 11, contains one of the earliest known creeds of the people of Israel. It was recited as a creed to keep the people's memories of God's mighty acts in their history alive. By the way, what is history? What is history? History is a simple compound word meaning his story. His story. The divine story and the human response were never to be forgotten. And one primary way this was done was through the ancient method of oral communication called the story. It was passed on. It was communicated. It connected the people with their past so that they would never be orphans. You see, our past heritage, our past history, reminds us that we're not orphans, but heirs of a great inheritance. We have a grand history. We're a part of a long, ongoing story. And we need to keep alive the stories, for they, in a real sense, keep us alive. We are what we remember. We are what we remember. And that brings us to the second point I want to make on why it's important we remember our past. Second, memory invites us to participate in the present. Memory invites us to participate in the present. One of the great Jewish writers of our time, the late Elie Wiesel, taught us that memory not only connects us with the past, but also keeps us alive in the present. As the people of God, when we remember how God has acted in our past, we experience God in our present. And you know, this great truth is experienced every time we worship together, but especially when we celebrate communion. Do you remember what Jesus said to his disciples in the upper room when he instituted the Lord's Supper? Do you remember those 6 words he commanded his disciples and by extension to us as well? What did he tell them? Do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. Folks, when we celebrate communion, we're remembering back to something that Jesus instituted 2,000 years ago. But we're not just remembering back to some dead event. As we remember back, we also re-experience the living Christ in our midst through the breaking of the bread and the drinking from the cup. So we're not just remembering to something that happened in the past. We're also experiencing something in the present. The living Christ, the spiritual presence of Christ through the bread and the wine. You know, our collective memories can help guide us as a church. We not only draw from their strength, but also by not repeating their mistakes from the past. The famous historian and philosopher George Santayana once said, and I know you've heard this quote before, and I think it's printed in your bulletin, but the quote goes like this, and it's one of my favorites. Those who do not remember the lessons of history are condemned to repeat its mistakes. You remember that? Those who do not remember the lessons of history are condemned to repeat its mistakes. Do you remember one of the first things that Big Brother does in George Orwell's novel, 1984, is to wipe out all memory of the past? You see, only when people have their memories wiped out, can they then be re-educated and controlled, because their memories of history have been wiped away. You see, without our memories of the past, we never really live or die. We simply exist. We need our memories to keep us alive, to tell us who we are, and to remind us of the ways in which God has been at work in our personal lives and through our church. As Elie Wiesel once put it, memory is an exalted way of seeing one's life in its totality. It is not a morbid thing. Memory is an exalted way of seeing one's life in its totality. It is not a morbid thing. You see, there's great power in memory. There's great power in memory. And that brings us to the third and final point I want to make this morning on why it's important we remember our past. Third and finally, memory propels us forward to claim the future. Memory propels us forward to claim the future. You know, the church is not a museum. It's a mission base. Once we've been nurtured on why we are, what we are, and whose we are, we then launch out by lifting up our sails and allowing the wind of God to take us to our next destination on the journey. The fertile soil of the past allows us to dream dreams and to claim the vision in our own time. You see, only when our past reaches forward can it deliver us from our own self-centeredness, when it connects us with the sacred story of the community of faith. And that story enriches our understanding and it broadens our vision. Rabbi Harold Kushner told a powerful story that says it well. And I want to close with this story this morning, because it tells how important memory is for us today, that we need our memories to tell us who we are, remind us of who we are, and remind us of who our God is. So I want you to listen very carefully to the story that he tells. A young man meets and falls in love with a beautiful young lady. He asks her to marry him, and she agrees. But there's something very peculiar about this young lady. She's not of this world. She's from outside the solar system. She asks if she can go home one more time before they set up their home here, and he agrees. When she comes back, she has with her a rather large box. And she says, "We'll get married and I'll live here. But this box must remain in our home, and you must never look in it. You must never look in it." He says, "That's okay. No problem there. That's okay, no problem there." Well, the days went by, and you know what happened. One day she was away from the house for a long time, and he was there by himself. The box kept saying, "Come and look. Come and look. Come and look." He went over to the box and got up enough nerve to open it up. He felt he had to know what was inside. But when he opened the top and looked in, it was empty. That's right, it was empty. That made him angry. When she finally returned to the house, he said to her, "You asked me not to look into the box. The box seemed to be special to you. I made a special place in our home for it. But then when I opened the top and looked in, it was absolutely empty. How could you pull a fraud like that on me? How could you pull a fraud like that on me?" Tears began streaming down her face. "You've missed the whole point," she said. "You remember when I went back to my planet to get the box? I went to get that very special box, and I filled it with the aromas of the homes and the crops and the aromas of the people of the streets. All of them are in this box. And when I get terribly homesick, I go and breathe deeply of the memories that are in that box. Now you've called what's special to me profane. Now you've called what's very special to me profane. Folks, memory is a powerful perfume from the past by which we continue our connection with God's saving acts in history. I pray that we'll not let ourselves or others forget what God has done, is doing, and wants to do through us. Let's not take what's sacred, special, and holy and call it profane. In the next few weeks in the listening parties, as we revisit our history together, let's not only learn from our mistakes, but let's also celebrate what God has done, what God is doing, and what God wants to do here at Cloudcroft United Methodist Church. Well, in conclusion, memory invites us to participate in the present and propels us forward to claim the future. We are what we remember. Memory invites us to participate in the present and propels us forward to claim the future. We are what we remember. Whoever has the ears to hear, let that one hear what the Spirit says to the church. Amen. Before we have our closing music, I'd like to give an invitation to you. I usually give an invitation to discipleship. I invite people to come to know Christ. And if you're here this morning, maybe you have gone to church all your life. You know all about the teachings of Jesus. Maybe you've attended many Sunday school classes. You've heard about Jesus, but you've never known Jesus right here in your heart. Maybe you know him here, but not here. I invite you to make that decision this morning because Christ has a wonderful new life for us and it's never too late. It's never too late. And I want to also extend another invitation to you. I want to encourage you to sign up for one of the listening parties because we need to remember and celebrate our past. Yes, we've made mistakes and we can learn from those mistakes. But you know what? We can also recognize that through it all, Jesus Christ has been with us. We're not alone. And he's still walking with us today. And when we remember back, then we recognize how he's present with us today and how he will be present with us tomorrow. So I want to encourage you to sign up for one of those listening parties. You can sign up in the back. There's three different times, and I'll be having other groups if we need to. But I encourage you to do that. So let's prepare our hearts for the closing music.
God, our help in ages past.
Amen. Before I give the blessing, I want to mention, next week I'm going to be starting a 7-part sermon series called The ABCs of Spiritual Vitality. And I don't think you'll want to miss it, because I'm going to be talking about those elements, those components that are important for us to have a spiritual vitality in our spiritual lives. And next week we're going to start with acceptance, grace, which is a basis for our spiritual life. So I hope you'll join us for the next few weeks, The ABCs of Spiritual Vitality. And let me also mention, each Wednesday, you should be receiving a devotion from me. I don't know if you saw that, but we live in a very difficult and challenging time. We need strength. We need courage. We need hope. And I want to help all of us by allowing Christ and inviting you all to come closer to Christ through the devotions, through the messages, because Jesus Christ is here with us. As scary as things may be out there in the world, He goes with us. He's not just here, but He goes with us as we go out into the world. So I want to remind you of that. Now would you receive the blessing? O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. As we go forth from this place, may we always remember that You have been there for us as individuals and families, but also as a church, and You are with us now and will be with us in the future in this time of transition. Help us, Lord, to keep our eyes focused upon You, and may we go forth as a people of hope who know the Christ who has been at work in our lives and our church. To Christ be the glory. Amen.